Blog Talk Radio.
Later.
Jesus, that we can lean on you. Thank you, Father. There is no one greater. Not at all. No one. Search the whole world over. Can't find nobody. What about you?
Bye.
is nobody greater than you. Scriptures coming from Galatians 5:22-25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus has crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Just one more time. Galatians 5:22-25. This is your host, your sister, Evangelist Von Dumas from Tri-Anointed Ministries, and we are inviting you to call in tonight. The lines are open at 646-652-4916. We see you, caller. God bless you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, that's you and I, it says that we have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Hallelujah. And we know just for the sinful nature that we're born into sin. But now that we have declared and invited Jesus Christ to be our Savior and our Lord, we have crucified the sinful nature. And how do we do that daily? When do we do that daily? How do we do that? By following in His Word, studying to showing ourselves worthy of His Word. And it's a crucifixion. It's not an easy thing. It's a crucifixion. We're starting our series tonight of one of the things that we just talked about, faithfulness. Faithfulness. In the Father's name, the name above all names, the name who's able to heal and set free and to set up high and propel, and the one that we worship, the one that we bow down to, the one that we have thanksgiving in our mouth and in our hearts, our leader, our provider, Jesus, you are our Lord and our Savior. We ask you, Father, that you accept our invitation to just dwell in our house and in our hearts and on our jobs. Take control of our minds, dear Father. And dear Father, may we just move back and be less of us right now. And we invite more of you to just come and just give us your word. Reveal to us your Spirit like no one else can. Thank you for using each and every one of us in your powerful name. Amen. Amen. In our introductory for our series of faithfulness, just want to start by reading a little something for you to get you in the mindset of where we're going with this. There's an ancient story out of the Middle East which tells of three merchants crossing the desert. They were traveling at night in the darkness to avoid the heat of the day, because you know it's very, very warm in those parts of the world. And as they was crossing over a dry creek bed, a loud attention demanding voice out of the darkness commanded them to stop. Now, can you visualize this? They're in the dark. And then they were then ordered to get down off of their camels and stoop down and pick up pebbles from the creek bed and put them into their pockets. Immediately after doing as they had been commanded, they were then told to leave that place and to continue into dawn before they stopped to set up camp. This mysterious voice told them that in the morning they would be both sad and happy. Understandably shaken, they obeyed the voice and traveled on through the rest of the night without stopping. And then when morning dawned, these three merchants anxiously looked into their pockets. Instead of finding the pebbles, as expected, there was precious jewels, and they were both happy and sad. They were happy that they had picked up some of the pebbles, but sad because they hadn't gathered more when they had the opportunity. You know, this fable expresses many of us the way we feel about the treasures of God's word. There is coming a day when we will be thrilled because we have absorbed as much as we have, but sad because we had not gleaned much more. See, jewels are best shown off when held up to a bright light and slowly turned so that each polished faucet can catch and reflect the light. Each of these nine jewels of characters will be examined in the light of God's word, and how best to allow them to be developed in the individual life. This is how I feel about the following three verses from Paul's writing, which challenges us, you and I, with what their Christian characters of personalities should look like. Jesus Christ has boiled down a Christian's responsibilities to two commands. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and body. And then he goes on and says, and love your neighbor like yourself. And likewise, Paul the apostle had captured for us the Christian personality in nine traits. And again, those traits we just read in our scriptures. Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. See, at the very beginning of this study, I must point out a stubble yet obvious distinction. The fruit of the Spirit is a composite description of what the Christian lifestyle and the character traits are all about. It's an unbroken whole. We can't pick only the fruit we like. And unlocked in these nine portraits are the riches of a Christ-centered personality. So it's going to challenge us to check to make sure that we do have a Christ-centered personality on our jobs. Do we have are we carrying with us a Christ-centered personality? So I want us to get used to hearing that. And then the thrill of the search is ahead of us. So as we get into the thrill of the search for our faithfulness, let's just break down a little bit. Faithfulness, as I look through, it comes up as the Greek word for it is pistos. It means to be trusted. It says it means to be reliable, believing, to be counted on at all times. I thought that was interesting. It means of a firm persuasion, and then it just means that you're faithful. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Now, the seventh fruit of the Spirit is the word for standing fast. Steadfast, steadfastness, loyal. Again, it means devoted, constant, reliable. And I like how it said reliable, and you can be counted on at all times. Quite a quality of characters. See, this fruit can also be called fidelity. Fidelity. It also speaks of endurance, a firmness of purpose, especially when the living is tough. Endurance, especially when you're going through something and you're still holding on. Endurance. Fidelity. It's more than just just a grin and bear it kind of situation. Because when you just grin, you know, kind of grin and bear it, it shows all over your face, and that attitude will be projected off of you wherever you go. It's a very positive, though. It's an active attribute of character. And it's a much needed one, especially in today's
irresponsible, kind of flippant world. We need a positive attitude. We need to be people that can be counted on at all times. That means during the good times and the bad times, you can be counted on. You can be counted that you're going to walk through it. And you're going to walk through it with joy. And I'm not just saying you're going to be happy through all of the bad things that are going on in your life that you see going on in the world, but you're not going to let it turn you away from the Lord. That's exactly what I'm saying. You're going to keep your faith in God, and you're going to hold on to your character, and you're going to still be able to possess and carry with you a positive, Christ-centered character, personality. So a Christ-centered personality. We're not going to be one way one day and then flip and flop back and forth. Remember, the world is watching you. We need to be there for each other, to lift you up when you're feeling down. I'm not supposed to be there to tear the world down, the sinners down. I'm supposed to pray for them also. So why is it that we as Christians, from the top leaders all the way down, why do we find ourselves competing against each other? Who can have the biggest church? Who has the biggest congregation? Who is it that you think that delivers the word? Well, he only preaches about one thing. God has somebody for everybody. The word that he put in one's mouth, three heads, it's for you and you and you. It's still representing the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as one. So let God be God. We don't have to determine. It's not our job to even determine who that God has set up to preach, teach, lead, what he has inspired or revealed to them to deliver to you. Our God is to pray and ask God to open up our hearts and send us where it is, to block anything that comes in and out of our minds that is not supposed to be there, and that we receive all that he has for us. And that includes a very positive, active personality. See, the faithful person is dependable in all kinds of life circumstances. Again, this is a much desired characteristic in others with whom we have any kind of relationship. You want to be able to depend on people. We all need to be people of faithfulness. D.L. Moody said, I believe in a faith that you can see. He said, a living, working faith that prompts an action. And I like that. A faith that prompts action, not just a being, but it makes you do something. Faith without works is like a man putting all of his money into the foundation of a house. And then works without faith is like building a house on sand without any foundation. Let's say it again. It's okay if you see yourself in these examples. Because if you don't recognize and identify where you're weak, you will never find your strength. Faith without works is like a man putting all his money into the foundation of his house. Why would you do that? And then works without faith is like building a house on sand without any foundation. Either way, it's not going to work. You're setting yourself up for failure. But the enemy doesn't tell you that when he put all the clever ideas of sinful things in your mind. He shows you all the fun things, how you're going to feel. It's going to be good, pleasurable. But he doesn't tell you that it's only temporary, and that the outcome of that is going to last forever. We got to be more smarter. We've got to center our lives around Christ. God is our source and standards. He's our standards of our faithfulness, which he has already demonstrated in his dealings with the human race. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ models the same kind of faithfulness in relationships with his followers. The Holy Spirit is ready to bring this trait of character to full maturity in your life and in my life, so that we too can be counted on to be faithful in all circumstances with all of our relationships, whether it's in our home, the relationships that we carry on with our spouse or our kids, with our parents and family members, on our jobs, just out in the world, in the church home. How many people are still not faithful, cannot be counted on? The saying used to say that your word is bond. I mean, if you gave my word, it was a time where you could just shake hands and look someone straight in the eye and give your word. And that was better than you didn't need any signatures. That was your signature. Because they knew if you gave your word, that was it. It was signed, sealed. And they knew that you would deliver. It's an old hymn which can usually be found in most of any denominational church hymns. In fact, you may have sung it the last time you were in church, and so it was all good to actually contemplate these words as we begin the study. It says, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thou compassion, they fail not, as thou hast been, thou forever will be. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thou great faithfulness, mercy, and love." It goes on to say, pardon for sin. Hallelujah. A pardon for sin and a peace that endures. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. I love that. It says strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. And then the course just simply says again, great is thou faithfulness. Oh, great is thou faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Hallelujah. Faith and faithfulness are closely linked. Faith being foundational to all that we believe and act upon. Remember, it's got to cause you to act. Faith is that undefiable power through which we can realize as reality things that are as yet unseen. Faithfulness is the working out of the inner belief system. When we have faith in God, we act in faithful ways. Acts of faithfulness is the demonstration that we have a true faith in God. It's the act of faithfulness are the demonstrations that we have a true faith in God. And such acts are the threads holding our belief and our behavior system together. As the writer has said, faith without works is dead. Let's begin our study with a look at the foundation for faithfulness from the faith chapter of the Bible. I challenge each and every one of you to take a little homework. As we meet again, we'll start with the homework. We're going to again start with the faith chapter in the Bible. I invite you to please read Hebrews 11, 1 through 40. And then if you could just write in your own words after you've read it, the biblical definition of faith. Again, Hebrews 11, 1 through 40. Write in your own words the biblical definition of faith. And then how are we to apply faith to our daily living? We will speak about that. Which hero of the faith do you think was most faithful? And then we're just going to endeavor, just get into a little bit of just why. Some of the other questions as we study in these here, just in this particular chapter, we just want to look at how is it possible for them to believe and never see the fulfillment that takes place in their lifetime? How much faith is required in order to be faithful and pleasing to God? We just thank God for just who He is, and we want to learn to be more like Him. Faithfulness. And then we'll pick up with when there is no faithfulness. When there is no faithfulness. What demonstrates that? How can you tell that? Faithfulness. Again, that is Hebrews 11. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. I thank you for your just giving us the ability to understand and to grow with you. I thank you for your new mercies. I thank you, Jesus, for faithfulness. I thank you for just giving us love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, and faithfulness. We praise you, Jesus. We honor your word for who you are. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, we want to make sure that give you the opportunity for anyone who just want to dedicate your life to Christ. He said, I want to just come closer to Christ. Some may say that I just want to get to know Christ. I want to make the decision right now that I want to make a recommitment, or I just want to, for the first time, I want to invite Christ into my life. I remind you that during his time on earth, Jesus was always inviting people to become his followers. He said to those by the Sea of Galilee, he said, follow me. He invited his listeners to come to him, to come by faith. To come for healing. He said, come for hope. He invited them to come for happiness. If you're in need of any of it, well, can you hear him calling you? Will you follow him tonight? He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. And he said, in return for coming to me, I will give to you rest. That's Matthew 11:28. I will give to you rest. He said, I see your heart. I know that the load that you're carrying, you feel like you can't carry it any longer. He said, you're not built to carry it. So come to me, and I will give you rest. He said, if anyone desires, anyone, it doesn't matter about your status. He said, but if anyone desires to come after me, then let him deny himself. Start telling your flesh no to some of the things it's craving. And then take up your cross. Yeah, it's not going to be easy. That's your cross you're carrying because you're denying your flesh. Take up your cross and just keep on following me. Keep on reaching out. Keep on calling into the broadcast. Keep on seeking to learn more. Perhaps today you feel that Christ himself is speaking just to you. Imagine if he was in this room with you right now. given you the invitation, what would you do? Well, he really is there right there with you right now. He really is inviting you to become his child, his follower, his disciple. I'm going to ask you that whatever you're doing right now, to just humble yourself. God will meet you just right where you're at. Come now. Follow him willingly. Come courageously. Don't worry about what anyone else thinks. This is your personal time with Christ. He's calling you as an individual, calling you as a couple. He's calling you as a family. He died for you, and he rose again. His blood washes away all of your sins, and he can give you new life if you come. Come to Christ right now, while there's still time, while you still can. Just repeat after me. Jesus Christ, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you gave your life, shed your blood, that my sins may be forgiven. I am a sinner, and I need you. I accept you. I invite you to come and take control and live inside of me. I confess my sins, and I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And I want to be faithfulness. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Show me yourself. Reveal your word to me. Reveal your spirit. I invite you to just change anything inside of me. Remove anything that's not of you and just fill me with your presence, with your anointing. I thank you for accepting me, Jesus. I thank you for all that your blood shed, all that it paid and bought for me. I thank you for loving me enough to die for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hallelujah. If you just prayed that prayer, you are a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. You can contact me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can also reach us here on the Blog Talk Radio at 646-652-4916. This is Evangelist Von Dimas. We're out of time for tonight. We will pick up tomorrow. Don't forget Hebrews 11, and we'll talk to you on tomorrow. There is no greater God. I know you've searched all over, but still can't find nobody, can you? There is no one greater. He loves you. God bless you. Until we meet again, this is Evangelist Von Dimas with Triumphant Ministries signing off.